you might not have been aware of it. But if this past Wednesday you saw a little more purple clothing or maybe purple ribbons and were perplexed at what strange alignment of the stars came together which had somehow influenced people to wear more purple, rest assured it was no heavenly alignment bringing this about. But to be honest, I'm not entirely sure I saw a whole lot more purple that day. But Wednesday, October 20th, was supposed to be a day where folks wore purple to speak out against bullying, and most notably bullying against gay and lesbian teens. Spirit Day, it was called. The Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation called for this response due to deaths of six teenagers who had recently committed suicide after being taunted for being gay. The story that was most prominent in the news was the story of Tyler Clementi, a student at Rutgers whose roommate had broadcast over the internet an intimate encounter between Tyler and another man. On September 19th, the broadcast was made, and September 20th, Tyler jumped off of a bridge. Either in an incredibly poor prank or a devastating act meant to embarrass and ridicule Tyler, Tyler's roommate showed great contempt for another human being. Some can point to our internet-obsessed culture where everything feels anonymous and harmless, but in this case, it becomes all too apparent that it is neither anonymous nor harmless. And there's really no excuse. Whether Tyler had been with a man or a woman, this act showed a great disregard of other human beings. Those whose privacy was being invaded, and those who were invited to peer in. But it is even weightier when this act is aimed at a young gay man. 9 out of 10 gay and lesbian teens report being harassed by others and mocked. And the suicide rate among gay teens is 4 times higher than the heterosexual teen population. Contempt has consequences for everyone, but for some more than others. To regard others with contempt is just another manifestation of the brokenness of the world begun in the fall when humans chose other than what God wanted. In that event, humans desired to be God, to be put in God's place. They chose the absurd by treating with contempt the merciful and all-powerful creator of the universe. Humanity's willful disobedience ruptured relationships. Human beings lost the ability to fear and love and trust God. Human beings began killing each other. To treat others with contempt is a way of continuing on with those broken relationships, pushing others down and away from us because we believe we should be at the top. Jesus tells this parable today precisely at those who trusted in their own righteousness and treated others with contempt. He uses characters that are to be expected, characters that the audience that Jesus was talking to would have understood. There's the Pharisee, the model of faithful living. Then there is the despised tax collector. Now, while the Pharisee does not end up the hero of this parable, I don't want us to rush and judge the Pharisee. I do believe that we're supposed to take him at his word about what he does. Fasting twice a week, tithing his income. He takes the covenant God makes with him in his circumcision very seriously. Likely, if we were desiring to be his or the tax collector's friend, we would choose the Pharisee. Jesus picks an incredibly respectable person here. And then he uses an equally despicable character, the tax collector, to make his point. Taxes are never popular. And even today, we crack jokes about IRS agents. But in Jesus' day, it's even deeper. Tax collectors are even more heinous. They took their salary out of the taxes they collected. So, of course, corruption was not only common, but it was expected. They took more than their fair share. Then, of course, to add insult to injury, they were the tax collector for the occupying force of the Romans. So they could not only take whatever they wanted from you, they had the force of the Roman legion behind them. Occupying forces who worship strange and foreign gods. That's who you were working for if you were a tax collector. The difference, of course, comes with these two characters and how they relate to God. The Pharisee wants to lift himself up, not only by pointing out what he does, but also by tearing others down. God, I thank you that I'm not like these poor saps, those who just do not live according to your word. They do nothing for you. They don't add anything to society. They just take from it. Look at all I do. The Pharisee trusts in his own righteousness. Somehow he stands apart, not dependent upon God. He puts himself up on the pedestal while showing contempt for others, pushing them down. Broken relationships abound. The tax collector, on the other hand, despite being the one who is despised by those around him, is the one Jesus says is justified because he knows exactly how much of what he does counts toward God. The tax collector is aware of his infidelity toward the covenant. The tax collector, standing before God in prayer, sees himself as he is and realizes that no matter what he does, his life abounds with broken relationships. He humbles himself before God, asking for only one thing: mercy. Jesus surprises his audience by lifting up this humble tax collector. The detested one is now the one who rests in a right relationship with God. And it will not be long in Luke's gospel before Jesus shows the ultimate humbling, taking himself to the lowest position, to be despised precisely so that he may draw all to him. One of the ways when we begin talking about justification is to talk about the blessed exchange. In Jesus' death and resurrection, he takes on all of our sin, all of our brokenness, so that we may be clothed with his righteousness. The blessed exchange that Luther talks about is that image for us. This is the tax collector being clothed in Christ's righteousness. That's what it's all about. That's what justification is. The tax collector is placed in a right relationship to God. The tax collector sees himself fully dependent on God for mercy that will transform him. The brokenness of the fall is begun to be restored in justification and brought to completion in the new age to come. A few weeks ago, the gospel text used the same phrase about exalting and humbling as our parable today. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. And I said then and again now that speaking from a position of humility is to come from a position of strength. We are under no illusion of who we are. We know that we do not live in perfect relationships. And knowing what our reality is like should make us less likely to tear others down. We don't need to prove how much we do. We simply rest in God's mercy. And God's mercy becomes the lens through which we look at the world. When we become aware of God's mercy in our lives, of what God has done for us, we can see relationships with others in that light as well. When God justifies us, it's not just our relationship with God that is made right, but it's the beginning point for all of our relationships. When we see ourselves in need of God's mercy because of our sinfulness, our brokenness, we are also able to begin seeing all other people as creatures made in the image of God, bearing an inherent dignity. As disciples of Jesus, those who have tasted of that bountiful and boundless mercy in our lives, well, now we are able to stand up and speak out to those bullies, those who treat others with contempt. Those bullies on the playground and those within us. We stand up to those who want to tear others down and treat with contempt. We stand up to say that those who are being treated with contempt, those who are being torn down, are people whom God loves and deserves to be treated as such. And more importantly, we stand up to the bullies to tell them that they too deserve more than continuing in the same old path of sin and broken relationships. We stand up to the bullies so that they too might experience the love of God through our actions, that they too might be lifted up and transformed. And so as we are grasped by God's love, we find that there's not just one day for speaking out against those who treat others with contempt. But there's a whole lifetime. Not just the wearing of purple, but the wearing of Christ's own righteousness in our bodies and in our actions. Thanks be to God. Amen.